Hallelujah. Oh, I have one joke today. One. I have one. Are we ready? I have one. You ready? What comes before a seagull? A beagle. Yes. Oh, Greg's dad does. Yeah, Charles did that a few weeks ago. I thought that was a good one. I thought that was good. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a lot of things. Amen. Kind of been kind of all over the place, hadn't I? Isn't that right, Travis? Travis, like over here. Amen. Kind of been over different things because I feel like we all need a little something every once in a while that, you know, and you kind of go down a rabbit trail to get there. And so today I want to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Charles, and let's see what we get into. We talked a few weeks ago, and I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, we talked a little bit about unbelief and how that can be a hindrance to our faith. And that sometimes it's not necessarily that you don't have enough faith, it might be that you just got too much unbelief. We showed a story where Jesus spent some time with a man who had a young boy that was demon possessed, and the boy would convulse and do all those things. And sometimes the demon would throw him in the fire. Sometimes the demon would throw him into the water. And Jesus said, how long has it been like this? And the old man said, it's been for birth. But, you know, I tell you what, if you can do anything, have mercy on us and heal my son. And Jesus was like, if you can believe, is the question. It's not a question of whether or not God can do a certain thing. It's all a question on whether or not we can believe in the thing. Because everything is possible to them that believe. So everything is possible to those that believe. Everything's possible to them that believe. Right? And so some people are like, well, I'm believing, and nothing's hell. And that's what the old man said. He said, Lord, I believe, but you got to help my unbelief. I have this weight that's holding me down. You got the scripture up? No. Hebrews 12, verse 1. He said, Lord, I believe, but you have got to help me with my unbelief. There is a weight that I'm carrying. There's a weight that's out here. There's something out here that's holding me back. Therefore, also, which we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Look at this. Let us lay aside what? Who lays aside the weight? We do. And so what Jesus was trying to bring out to them, he talked to the disciples even after. They were like, Lord, why couldn't we cast that thing out? He was like, well, because you don't have enough prayer and fasting going on in you. Because without prayer and fasting, unbelief will come in like weeds and begin to choke the word of God that's in you. If you don't take the time to pray, if we don't take the time to fast Netflix and Facebook and food and whatever else it is that we've got our mind on, if we don't do these things, then we're going to have the cares of life, the worries of riches, all of these things in this world come in and choke the seed of God's word. And then we try to say that we don't have enough belief, enough faith, and we don't have enough belief. God's not moving. We're always putting it out on God whenever at the end of the day, it's just us simply doing what Jesus told us to do, is to get that stuff out with prayer and fasting. That we lay aside the weight. That we put aside the weight. Putting aside sin, easy. If you know you're sinning, stop. Right? Yeah. It's the weights that we have to deal with all the time. It's the weights that sneak up on us. It's the weights that get to us when we don't even know what's going on. And you look up and God ain't moved in a couple, 3 weeks. And you can't figure out what's going on. And Greg keeps on teaching. We keep coming up here praying. We're doing everything we know to do. Why ain't God moving? It might be because we got too much unbelief in us. It might be. I'm not saying that it is. It could be you just got sin. Let us lay aside what? The weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And then that way, then we could do what? Run. Then we could move. Then we can move forward on what the vision is. Then we could start to see the things. Then we could step forward and draw near to God. Are y'all with me? Yahweh. Let's go to, Charles, let's take them to one of my new ones that I gave you this morning. Let's go to, I'll get there in a minute, y'all, forgive me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. The weights creep in. They creep in. And they creep in a very simple way. The devil will present to us what the Bible calls an argument, an imagination, a thought. He'll throw at us a thought that we have to and must do something with. Casting down arguments, imaginations, or thoughts, or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every what? Thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Passion Translation, because I get in trouble for only using the New King James. I get told all the time, that's not what they speak in heaven, you know. So the Passion says we could demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. We insist. Look at this. It says we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes against God, and we can break through every arrogant attitude that's raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God, and we capture like a prisoner of war every thought and we insist that it bow. Nowhere in there does it say God's going to do a thing. Did y'all get that? Let's go to another one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to zip through quick. Isn't this fun? Y'all having a good time? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's telling them what they must do. He's getting towards the end of the letter. He's like, all right, have anybody ever written a letter? Y'all still do that? Y'all still write letters? Just emails. All right. Write email, pleasantries, a little something. Whammo, this is what I need to do. Sincerely, Greg Lee. Okay, that's kind of how it goes, okay? So this is a whammo towards the end. This is what Paul has to say. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, but we have to realize what his might is. If you think back to David, whenever David was going to go against Goliath, Saul, the king, tried to give him armor to wear. Y'all remember this? Y'all remember that? He tried to give him armor to wear. And he tried to give him something that he wasn't used to doing. And so he was not going in the power of God's might. He was trying to operate in the power of Saul's might, because that's what seemed like it would work. That's what seemed like it would work. It seemed like the best thing for us to do is have a whole lot of armor on and really get up and get after it. But if we remember the story, David went up there with just a sling and a few rocks, right? Because that's what he was used to doing, and he was strong in the power of God's might with what he knew and what he knew to do. All this stuff about getting rid of, laying aside weight, and getting things cut off and things out of our lives, there is no secret sauce. You know what to do. You know what you need to do. I know what I need to do. We all know what we need to cut off and cut out and just get out. We all know. We know. It's not a secret. It's simple. You know, right now, immediately, right now, if I said, hey, we're all going to declare a fast, if I did that, if I was one of those pastors that did it, we're going to declare a fast throughout all of CCAM, you would know what to fast right now. You would know. What you got too much of in your life distracting you? What you got in your life that's pulling you away? What you got in your life that's actually seizing God's seed and making it not grow? Does this make sense? Isn't it fun? Yeah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I will get it out. Therefore, Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You stand therefore in verse 14. Some people don't even take on the whole armor of God. They just slap on the helmet of salvation and move on. I'm saved. But there's an entire armor suit that we wear in the spirit, and we have to take it on. You can't do, and if you're not careful, you just take on pieces. You'll be so distracted. Anybody ever been so distracted to get out of the house you left your car keys? Yeah. Whoa, I gotta hurry up. Left your car. Never tied your shoe. You ever done that one? Not brushed your teeth. Yeah. There's some of y'all out there. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we get in such a rush to make things happen, to make things go. We start listening to the enemy. It's got to be now. Go. Make a change. That we forget to put on the whole armor of God because we're too busy trying to get out there. Does that make sense? Stand, therefore. How am I supposed to stand? By girding your waist with truth. Without your belt, your pants might fall off. Your belt. Having put on what? The breastplate of righteousness, which is simply your right standing with God. And it's just something you put on. You can't earn it. You can't earn right standing with God. Quit trying. Stop trying to earn right standing with Him. You just put it on. We get it free. Don't cost us a thing through Jesus. Righteousness. Right standing with God. That one kind of sunk in. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I love that. Somehow the gospel just makes us to where we can just go. I mean, it's always talking about feet. Precious are the feet of those who carry the gospel. Right here it says the gospel. Shod your feet with gospel. Why? Because the gospel make you free. The gospel will make it where you could just go. The gospel makes it where you could just step out. Because the gospel is 1,000% the power of God unto salvation. Without that power, you're not moving. See, I'm taking all this and encapsulating in just a few seconds. Above all, if you're going to skip out on something, don't skip out on brushing your teeth. Got to get out of the house, make sure you put your clothes on, but you better dang make sure you brush your teeth. We could talk about cleaning other areas, but I'm not going to go there this morning. My wife is not here. Ginger's not here. Paul ain't here. Jody's here. I know, yeah, she's got them eyes on me too. Y'all ought to see them. It's like daggers. Don't you say poop. above all, we've come back to that. Taking the shield of faith, maybe quench the fiery darts of wicked one. Verse 17, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying with all kind of prayer and supplication. How? In the spirit. Man, go back a few months. Charles just loaded up a bunch of stuff. We hammered away on being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues and letting the Spirit of God pray for you. If you don't know nothing about that, go hit that and we'll probably come back around to it 40 years out. Amen. Be watchful this year with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Back up. So praying, taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, verse 16. But above all, you got to have your shield up and ready. Because without it, you're not able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. These fiery darts are weights that were mentioned before. Cares of this world, things that kind of slide in and start to choke the word of God out of your heart. It will actually make it to where the word of God won't be able to produce in you because you got all this other junk on you. And I was actually, believe it or not, I was going to move into something else this morning. And last night I was like, no, we're going to stay on this. Because God, I believe that God is wanting us to see that we are allowing things to choke His Word. We are letting things choke God's Word. If I'd have said it just one time and bumped through this thing pretty quick, I probably wouldn't worry about it so much. But I keep going back to it and keep going back to you. And it's probably just me. It's probably just me. Because I know all the rest of y'all are Bible scholars and you're in your Word all the time and you're praying all the time. Heck, half of you are probably in a fast right now. You know? Till 12. No, we're all real people here, guys. What's going to happen? We're going to let little stuff slip. That's what we do. We do. Time we let little things slip. You start off and you say that you're going to start to, I don't know, what can we start? We're going to start a Bible reading for the year. Anybody ever done that one? Read the Bible for a year? Yeah, yeah. We're going to start that. I'm not going to get on that one because that's ugly. I'm going to get on, I want to read this book. Anybody ever read a book? Yeah, okay. I'm going to read this book. Pick a book. Game of Thrones. We're going to read Game of Thrones. Man, I probably stay away from it. But anyway, that's what we'll talk about. I got no other takers. If y'all wanted your book, you should have said something. We're going to use his book, Game of Thrones. And it's a series, too. It's not just one book, isn't it? A bunch of books. A couple of them, yeah. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read the first book in the series over the next 90 days. I'm going to do 25 pages a day times 90. Ought to be more than enough to get it done. And I'm going to start today. Let me go buy the book. Anybody ever done this? Buy the book, read it. How many times? How many days do you normally read out of the 90? One or two. We just do it. For those of you that are overachievers and read the whole thing and do like you're supposed to, I promise you, you don't keep up with your math and your checkbook. You said you was going to keep it up in your checkbook, but you didn't. Right? We all have little stuff that we let slip. And we let it slip because we have these fiery darts of the wicked one that start coming at us. You don't have to do that. You ain't got to worry about that. You really don't have time to read your Bible today. Look what time it is. You don't have time to pray. You can't be praying today. Oh, you can't fast today. You're supposed to go out and eat with so-and-so. See how this works? And it's these little bitty things that we let creep in that become weights in us that hold us back from doing the things that God wants us to do. He said, above all, you take your shield of faith. Why do we take our shield of faith above all? Because without that shield, we're not stopping those fiery darts. We can be wearing the entire armor of God with the sword of the Spirit, our tongue ready to rock and roll, with the gospel on our feet, with our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness. Not have that shield sitting. Sitting. Not doing a thing. Because the enemy's got us so distracted on other stuff. Ain't this fun? Miss Angel's not here today. It's awesome. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll take a look at a guy and then we're going to go. Oh, we're already there. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. That's a lot right there. If y'all, man, I tell you what, if you can grab a hold of that, you can do all kind of things in this world. If you can really find out, and according to what Miss Jody told us at the beginning of the year, if you can really find out what grace does and to find out that it's faith so that it might be according to grace. That our faith will access that grace. There is no mountain that you cannot move in your life. None. There's a lot right there. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Golly, that's good. So that the promise might be sure to whom? All the seed. Everybody say, that's me. We in there. Yeah, go back, read the whole chapter. That's you. You in there. Not only of those who are on the of the law, but who? Those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it's talking to all of us. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they was. That's not how it says it up there. That's how it says it in the King James. Y'all heard that one before? God calls those things that be not as though they were. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he might become the father of many nations. Contrary to his expectations, yet in his expectation, he believed. He got rid of his unbelief. Look at this. Look. Oh, man, it's going to, oh, golly, it's going to show us how it does it too. The word's so good, I'm just going to tell you. It shows you how to do this. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of his wife's womb. He did not what? Waver at the promise of God through, huh? Unbelief, but was what? Strengthened. How? In faith, doing what? Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham showed us what you got to do to stay away from that unbelief. Did y'all check it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Back up, back up, back up. He did not waver at the promise of God through what? See, unbelief, what it'll do, it'll make you waver. Anybody know what waver means? You know what it means? Vacillate. That's what I used to think. I looked it up. I looked it up in the Strong's. To thoroughly separate. To thoroughly separate from the promises of God through unbelief. Read it that way. He did not thoroughly separate himself from the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't do that. Unbelief. You separate yourself from God. You start, I don't mean any disrespect, you start sitting in the back of the church. You start hanging out in the coffee shop. Y'all with me? You'll begin to separate yourself from the flock. You begin to separate yourself thoroughly from the things of God. You'll remove yourself and waver away from the things of God. Yeah, Stephen back here in the back, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Separate yourself, move yourself, and next thing you know, you're away from the herd. Now, everybody knows this one. Our adversary, the devil, he goes around like a what? Roaring lion, and what is he looking for? Those whom he may devour. Everybody knows which zebra is the lion gonna get. The one by itself. The one by itself, over here, not with everybody else, because we done wavered through unbelief. We don't believe like, I got too much going on. It's just, I just can't. I want to go to church, but I can't go to church because I just can't. And the unbelief becomes a habit. And I'm not saying church will save you, but the point is that it will pull us away from the things. I can't fast. I can't read my word. I just can't. You begin to thoroughly separate yourself from the things of God, to waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But instead of wavering, instead of letting himself being separated from the things that God had promised him, instead of doing that, what did he do? He was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. I got a real good friend. He says glory to God about 50,000 times a day. Great man. You want to know why? He's not wavering. Glory to God. He'll say it all the time. Half of y'all know who I'm talking about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Huh? Glory to God. Hey, man, how you doing? Man, I'm good today. Glory to God. Because what that does is that puts us back, pulls us back into, if we give glory to God, we just simply, believe me, I go through some stuff. I work in the world and I pastor a church. I go through some stuff. I get some sin, and I'm not bragging on Greg. I go through some stuff, but there's sometimes I just got to stop and go, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My gosh, take all this stuff. God bless you, Lord. Woo, I'm glad you got it and I don't. I got to do that stuff on a regular basis. It's got to happen. I'm casting all kinds of cares at him. He's probably tired of hearing from me. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. You got to do that. I don't know. That's your church. You got to do that. I don't know. That's your bank. You got to do that. I don't know. That's your house. You got to do that. I just out. I don't know. I'm out. I think whenever Angel and I took over, one of the first things I told the leadership is I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. None. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't know. One thing I know is I love me some Jesus. And when stuff gets tough and I don't know what to do, I'm going to grab hold to me some Jesus. I'm going to give him glory because he's got the answer. He's got the way. There ain't none of this other stuff that I could go run to. Yeah, I could go run to some other stuff. I could go get high as a kite today. I could. But I'm going to run to him because he's the one. He's the only answer. There ain't no other answer. And I just give him glory. Does it happen right then? Nope. I got to have faith. I got to hang in there. I got to believe. I got to know. I got to have expectation. Sometimes I got to fast. Most of the time I'm praying, but sometimes I got to fast. I got to do stuff. I got to cut off mess from this world. I got to hit a top. Well, no, I ain't going to be doing that. No, we ain't going. I'm not doing it. Why? Because I'm doing this. I'm cutting this off. I'm trying to get rid of, and I ain't telling everybody. I'm just like, no, I can't show up, man. I appreciate it, but I ain't going to show up. What am I doing? I'm in there. I'm giving glory to God. Because I don't need to waver or separate myself from his promises. There's too much business got to be done. There's too much business got to be done. I can't let myself waver and get separated from him. All we got to do is stop and give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. I say it all the time. I think Serena said one time, she said, you always say that. Yes, I do. Was that you, Serena? She ain't listening. Was that you that used to say that? I say thank you, Lord, all the time. That wasn't you? All right, it was somebody. All right, baby, back to it. She's back here taking care of her kids. They got more kids than Abraham. They just having kids left and right. They probably pregnant now, and we just don't know it. Yeah. No, that's the problem. Joel knows what causes it. That's the problem. Like everything else, he just won't stop. Angel's not here. I know even Roger gave me one of these, didn't he? Then it's back there. It's back there. It's back there. Probably. We can let ourselves separate from God if we let it. Can waver. Abraham didn't. What happened? He had Isaac. Then whenever God told him to sacrifice Isaac, you know what he didn't do? He didn't waver. He didn't separate. He ran at what God told him to do. So much so to the sacrificing of his son. And whenever he got to the moment of sacrifice, God stopped him and stayed his hand. He's like, that's the dude I can work with. I can work with that guy right there. That guy right there, I can make some stuff happen through him. In fact, the promise that I made him, I sure enough can make it happen now. I'm gonna make all kind of people through him. They're gonna be like the sand on the ground. They're gonna be like the stars in the sky. I'm gonna send my son through his lineage because he's willing to go ahead and go run at it. He won't waver. He won't separate himself. We got a job to do. Each and every last one of us. All of this started with vision. Each and last one of us got a vision from God. We have a vision from God. God has given you what he wants you to do. Do not waver. Stagger not. Don't separate yourself from God. Cut everything off so that that vision will come to pass. Let's go home. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Y'all stand. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that we will purpose not to stagger. We got some stagger knots in here. Not going to stagger at all. Not going to waver at all. Not going to separate ourselves at all from you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We know that it is the doers that will be blessed and not the hearers. And we're about to go do in Jesus' name. Everybody agree with that said? Y'all have a good day.